New Orleans' other disaster, Straight Talk for Parents, and Nurses Get A's on Reading Pediatric Pain. Plus, we'll take a look at pediatric pain assessment. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jimmy Davis, the pod medic, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the show this week. If you are a brand new listener to The Nursing Show, take a moment and head over to nursingshow.com. You'll find links to all of the things I discuss in this and every other episode in the show notes there. And you'll also have an opportunity to sign up for The Nursing Show newsletter, as well as check out all of the other articles, posts, and links that I put up there throughout the course of each week, all available for you at The Nursing Show site at nursingshow.com. Of course, for all of you longtime listeners, thank you for being a member of the Nursing Show community. This is a community effort. A lot of what goes on here, both at the website and here on the show, really happen because of the comments and suggestions that come in from you, the listeners. So if you have a suggestion or perhaps a news link article you'd like to send to me, or just a comment on a show, or perhaps even a correction, please get in touch with me. You can reach me here at The Nursing Show by sending an email to comments@nursingshow.com. I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you, so don't miss out on that opportunity. I've been posting some articles about once a week on nursing student tips. So if you are a nursing student who listens to The Nursing Show, you can check out some of those recent postings over at The Nursing Show site. Also, if you are a nurse educator listening to the show or somebody who would like to share some thoughts or ideas with nursing students about clinical process or about your experiences in nursing school, you can send me some information on what you'd like to talk about. We can either do a phone interview and talk about it, or we can actually get in touch with each other by email. You can just write up some of your thoughts and comments, and I will share those with the listeners on the website. Remember, this is a community effort, and one of the things we can do to help bring new nurses into the profession is to encourage, mentor, and share our ideas with them, and I'm happy to provide a venue for that here on The Nursing Show. As we move on into a look at the news from this week, I'm going to start off with a story from New Orleans. And this is probably a place that a lot of us have been kind of glancing as we watch our TV coverage of the arrival of Hurricane Hanna, just 3 years after the arrival of Hurricane Katrina, and wonder if there is anything we can do to, I don't know, learn from their experiences. Well, one of the things that they are learning the hard way is that once you devastate a community's healthcare system, it is very, very difficult to revive that system. You lose trained healthcare workers, you lose staffing for the hospitals and medical centers. You don't get people returning when they have to evacuate and they have nothing to return to. So this has been a problem in New Orleans. And 3 years later, their healthcare system there is still in a deep, deep hole. So I found a great article that discusses the healthcare crisis in that region and looks at it from the viewpoint of a nurse. And this is for the Registered Nurse Response Network. And they are releasing a video that looks at the impact of the so-called second disaster facing the city, and that is the collapse of its healthcare system. Now, it looks at some aspects of the crisis. It interviews nurses, doctors, officials, and residents, and really tries to figure out some of the key issues that are still in play. So I will link to the video as well as the article in the show notes, and that'll give you an opportunity to check this out. But it's important for all of us to really look at how fragile the system is, that when you have one admittedly severe event, but a single event that could happen in any region, whether it be a devastating earthquake or some other huge natural or man-made disaster striking a region, it could in fact cause wide and large scale effects on the management and administration of healthcare in that area for a long period of time. Years, in fact, as we see the effects of Hurricane Katrina in the New Orleans area. So, something we need to learn for our own region, how would it affect us? Would we move back into an area that suffered such devastation? You know, it's something to be said for the people that went home there and have struggled to rebuild and continue to provide services in the face of shortages, in the face of reduced funding, in the face of all of the challenges they've had there. There are really some heroic individuals that have gone back in there to do the job. And in some cases, it seems like a third world nation, especially right after the disaster, there were just no resources available. So I urge you to check this out. And there may be legislation that you want to talk about in your state or local area or at the federal level that talks about how to handle the provision of healthcare following a serious disaster. This is something that you can plan for in advance and have at least some idea of where you would receive resources. So check it out and follow up on the links in the show notes at nursingshow.com. Now, the next two articles actually deal with pediatric patients dealing with their families and dealing with pain management. And so that's going to be kind of the focus for the rest of this episode, is looking at pain management, handling pediatric patients and their families. But it's because of these two news articles that wrap up the news segments that kind of headed me in that direction. The first of them is a look at what parents want from their nursing staff. And this comes from the July-August 2008 issue of Pediatric Nursing. And the authors of this particular article are looking at the relationship between how nurses communicate with their patients and families and the parents' level of satisfaction with the care of their children. And one of the things that came out of this study was that parents really want to have the information explained to them in terms that they can understand. That if you're dealing with a parent who is college educated and has some medical knowledge, you may be able to use medical terminology to explain something to them in a way that they understand. But if you're dealing with someone who has a high school education or less and is worried about their sick child, what do you do to explain that to them in ways that they can understand? And this is something that I think comes back to really getting in there with the parents and trying to assess not only whether the child is understanding if they're old enough to be involved in the process directly, or if the parents are understanding. And this comes back to not just communicating, but then evaluating how your communication has been received. You need to really ask questions following your discussion, not just, do you understand? Because a lot of people will just nod their head because they don't want to appear stupid. And it's gone over their heads and they're so worried about 10 different things that it's gone in one ear and out the other and they just reflexively nod. Well, you turn around and leave the room and go on to your next patient. You have missed out on making sure that they understood. And you need to ask pointed questions, not just those yes or no questions. You need to ask those open-ended questions. Remember that from your nursing school programs? Ask open-ended questions. So even after you've communicated something, you need to ask open-ended questions. Ask them to explain back to you so that you can see if they understood correctly. Another way that you can explain things to parents in terms that they understand, and this is something I've had experience with my own children and their caregivers in a pediatric hospital, has been that you can sit there and actually literally draw a picture for them. I was really amazed when I had a physician sit down with us when we were kind of sitting there asking about a particular procedure, and they sat down and started drawing a picture on their clipboard and said, well, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing. This is where we're going in. This is the incision we're going to be doing. And you know, literally just kind of drawing an outline. This is how big the scar should be. All the questions were answered. And we had a visual aid to go along with it. You know, and it wasn't much more than a stick figure, but it was something that we could understand. So I think that one of the things we can learn from this article is not just to work on our communication skills, but to remember to follow up with evaluating the effects of our communication skills. Because ultimately, our patient satisfaction and our parents' the patient's parents' satisfaction is going to come down to whether they felt like everything was, that they had a control of, as much control as they could of a bad event. You know, whenever your kid's in the hospital or needing medical care, you feel like you have this loss of control. But anything we can do to put the control back in their hands, to make sure that they are making informed decisions, to make sure that they understand the precautions, the adverse effects, as well as the positive outcomes from any procedure or intervention, will help them to feel like they've made the right choice, even if it's a difficult choice. So again, I'd urge you to check out this article. This is from Medical News Today, but you can also follow up if you have access to the July-August 2008 issue of Pediatric Nursing to read the entire study that was published there. I think this is something that we should all be really thinking about. The next thing that I look at is actually another article, and this will be the final news segment, is looking at nurses and our ability to assess children's pain levels. And comfortingly enough, this also comes from the July-August issue of Pediatric Nursing. Another article in there did a national survey of nurses to explore how we were rating children's pain and how much pain management analgesic medicines we were recommending. And what was found in this article was that nurses overall were very accurately assessing pain. They were using current pain scales. They were making sure that pain management was a strong concern. And so this is something that I think is very important to understand, because of course, part of anyone's satisfaction with their medical treatment is going to be the amount of pain associated with that medical problem. If we were able to alleviate their pain and other adverse symptoms, patients are going to put up with a lot of other stuff. But pain is something that is very personal and something that is very difficult to deal with on your own level. Some people are better able to refocus themselves than others. And certainly children do not have the necessary adult skills to engage in some other alternative practices that an adult might on their own. The tip and trick of the week this week is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know, if you're looking to start your own webpage or buy a domain name, you can't go wrong with GoDaddy.com. I have been using their hosting services for all of my website and podcasting ventures here for the last several years, and I can't say enough about their excellent customer service. So check out their services if you're considering getting a web presence. And while you do that, you can actually save on your purchases, because as a listener of The Nursing Show, you'll get 10% off. Use the code BLU27, BLU27, to get 10% off of most of what you order when you check out. And if you're looking specifically for web hosting services, you can use the code POD27, POD27, to get your 10% off on most hosting services. Check it out at GoDaddy.com and get your own piece of the internet. Okay, for the tip and trick of the week this week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about pediatric pain assessment. And I really found a lot of resources on this, which I was happy to see. So I'm going to do some basic overview of some of the assessment characteristics here. And then later in the week, I'll post at least one, possibly two more articles with links to some journal articles and some other web resources for you to use, both in your understanding of pediatric assessment and resources that you might want to provide for patients and their families as well. So we'll do all of that over the coming weeks. So you'll want to make sure you check back at nursingshow.com as well. So what is pain? Well, first of all, I looked around and one of the resources I found off of the NIH site was a link to the American Pain Foundation. And this is a site that really focuses on pain. And one of the interesting things about their philosophy is they look at pain not as just a symptom, but as a separate disease or problem unto itself. And when you look at pain in those terms, pain, the significant amount of pain suffered by people across the spectrum, it dwarfs all other chronic illnesses. Diabetes, coronary heart disease and stroke, and cancer are very slight problems when compared to the total problem of people living with pain, either chronic pain or problems with short-term issues with pain. So we need to think about pain differently. Certainly, you have heard before the thought that pain is another vital sign, that we need to assess pain just like we assess pulse, respirations, and blood pressure. We should be checking people's pain levels with every time we assess them. And this may be included even for children in a well child visit when they're having just a checkup. We should still ask them, do you have any pain right now? Does anywhere hurt? These are questions that should be included in every normal assessment, whether you're assessing someone with a problem or you're just doing a routine follow-up. And this is how we need to start thinking about this. So what about pain specifically in children? What are some of the things we need to focus on when assessing pain in children? Well, first of all, we certainly need to be aware of the child's developmental level because this is going to have an impact on their understanding of anything that we do to assess their pain and their ability to communicate with us about their pain level. Some other things we need to think about are their level of understanding of the medical procedures that are being performed and their ability to understand why they are important, the child's verbal skills, and their ability to be away from their parents. So anyone with separation anxiety issues, certainly we need to be respectful of that. So we need to talk about how we measure pain in children. And there are three key ways to do that. First of all, self-reported pain measurement. And these include routine questions, the child giving a verbal scale or a numeric scale, or some of the pictorial scales that we've seen where they can point to the face that tells them how that points out how they feel. We also have to look at behavioral measures of pain, especially in preverbal children. We need to be able to assess things like how they respond, their motor response, facial expressions, crying and agitation. Sleep-wake patterns are important indicators of pain in a child. Also, we need to look at the physiologic measures of pain, and this would include anything such as increased pulse or blood pressure, increased respirations. There may be some mild diaphoresis associated with severe pain. So again, we need to be able to assess children in all three of these ways and then apply it appropriately to their developmental level. And again, those three aspects of measuring pain in children, and truly measuring pain in anyone, but especially important in children because of their different methods of communication, we need to, again, look at both self-reported methods, and those are the methods that we would use, the pictorial pain scales that we have. Also, for older children, they may be able to adequately measure their pain on a 1 to 10 scale, numerical scale, or to describe the quality of their pain, whether it's sharp, dull, intermittent, or steady, currently present, but movement changes it. These are things that older children may be able to describe to you. If you're unable to assess that because they're unable to self-report, then you've got to observe carefully during your assessment what changes occur when you move the patient. Do you notice a grimace when you go to take a blood pressure? Do you notice guarding? Do you notice that as you're watching them without touching them at all, that you see that the pain seems to come and go because of changes in their presentation, their behaviors? So again, if you don't have that verbal self-measurement, you need to move on into observing behavioral measurement patterns and physiologic measurement patterns. And this goes along with monitoring their ongoing vital signs. One way to do this is if you have a child with a pulse oximeter reader on them, you can monitor their pulse with that. And you may be able to see steady increases in pulse at certain times or during certain procedures. And this would be an indication of agitation or pain response in someone that is unable to self-report. So there's an admittedly brief look at pain assessment in children, but I urge you to follow up with the additional information you will find over at the Nursing Show site in the show notes for this episode at nursingshow.com. Also, follow up later this week with the other articles I'll be posting with additional resources for you to follow up in nursing journals on pain assessment in children. And that's going to wrap up another episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank everybody for checking out the show and remind you to head over and follow up on all of the links in the show notes. Remember, the terms of service for the show are: this is just general medical information. It is your job to follow up on that information in the best way possible and to make sure that you are staying on top of how this works within your scope of practice and the guidelines under which you must operate. If you have any comments or suggestions, questions, or corrections about any of the information presented in this or any other episode, I need you to get back in touch with me. It's important for us to share this information as a community, and you're listening to the show, you're part of the community, and I really would like to hear back from you. I know there are neonatal nurses that are listening to this show and pediatric nurses. I would like to hear your ideas and thoughts on pediatric pain assessment. You can reach me here by contacting me at comments@nursingshow.com and send an email in and let me know what your comments, suggestions, or corrections are so that I can get that information back out to the community. All right, that's enough of me. Time to wrap up as I always do. I'll close out with some PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And this is a band called Slackstring and their song Wednesday Morning. If you like what you hear, follow the link to the band in the show notes and let them know you heard it here on The Nursing Show. Okay, that's it. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I'd like to remind all of you to remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
I stepped out on my doorstep. Wednesday morning looked real fine. Took a glance at my wristwatch, 8 a.m. I read the time. I left my little girl sitting pretty in the bed. Stretched my arms, I touched the sky. Time to clear my weary head. Wednesday morning, take my blues away. Wednesday morning, it's gonna be a brighter day. Come so many times before, I used to frown upon my life, but I'm not going to anymore. I waved to Mrs. Johnson, I saw a schoolboy skipping by. Took a dome to my head, what a feeling, what a high. Clapped my hands, kicked up my feet, danced around the yard so sweet. I listened to the buddies sing, the music was a treat. So big, I'm so giant.